everyone, Jazakallah khair for coming, especially at such a busy time of term. Today we are in our fourth week of this term, and we're continuing with our series on Imam Ghazali's Ihya. So without further ado, I'll pass over to Sheikh Yad, inshallah.
Jazakallah. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن عظيم الذنوب ومطرات لوسواس الخناس المكذوب والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض وعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم وقال تعالى ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين صدق الله العظيم Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to lecture number 39 in our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. Last week we completed the final section on the chapter Bayanu anna niyyata ghayra dakhilatin tahta al-ikhtiyar, the explanation of the fact that intention is beyond choice. And in that discussion there were several points that we were meant to keep in mind. The first, in summary, was that the importance of perspectives in the formation of intention. As Imam Ghazali says, فَإِذَا تَغَيَّرَ النَّظَرُ تَغَيَّرَتِ النِّيَّةُ. And if the perspective changes, then so will the intention. So working on our intention, working on our perspectives is part of the process towards intention formulation. Point number two was that نِيَةُ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِإِسْتِحْقَاقِهِ الطَّاعَةَ وَالْعُبُودِيَةَ هِيَ أَعَزُّ النِّيَّاتِ وَعَلَاهَا. That obedience to Allah with the intention of glorifying Allah is the highest of intentions. There are no intentions higher than that. It is the highest, the most noble of intentions, the most honorable and highest of intentions. And here we took a closer look at what it means in terms of joy in this world, and to look at the fact that the pleasures of Jannah are beyond our imagination. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَتْ وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ. What we will never be able to imagine in this world, or no one has heard, and no heart has conceived. And yet that joy in Jannah will be eclipsed by the audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see Allah, when we are granted that experience of having presence of Allah, so seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will eclipse all the joys of Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, swearing, he said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا عَطَاهُمْ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَيْهِ. That nothing, I swear that there's nothing that they would have been given in Jannah that would be more pleasurable than seeing Allah, than when the veils are lifted. That experience will be the most pleasurable, the most favorable experience we will have in Jannah. Point number three was that even in this world, we are in this world where we are veiled from that level of joy, of experience of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can still enjoy the sweetness of divine proximity, which is al-qurbu ila Allah, having qurb, having closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can attain this through our iman and through our ibadah, through obedience, through worship, through taqwa. Seeking Allah in our intention with love and devotion has the potential for joys that are beyond all joys in this world. And I reflected, I quoted, and we should constantly reflect on this, that the scholars of the past used to describe the joy and the experience that they were having was so great that they said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُلُوكُ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكُ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ من النعيم لجدلون عليه بالسيوف. That if they knew what we were enjoying, from if the princes and the kings, if the kings and the princes knew how what we were, what enjoyment we were experiencing, then they will fight us with swords to take it from us. And they used to pity those who were deprived of this joy. They used to pity people who were deprived of the joy of proximity, joy of qurb ila Allah. And they used to say, "Masakin ahli dunya kharaju minha wa ma dhaqu atyab ma fiha." That they said these how sad it is that these people of the dunya, they leave the world and they haven't tasted the most beautiful, the most pleasant, the most enjoyable thing in the world, which is, and when they ask, "Ma atyab ma fiha?" qala mahabbatullah, mahabbatullah ta'ala wa ma'rifatuhu wa dhikruhu wa nahwa dhalik. So that is how they used to see these things. Point number four was that of the reasons people are denied this in this world is because of our sins. We are denied of this. Our hearts are filled with the love of the dunya. And as the great scholar Zunnun al-Misri said, كَمَا لَا يَجِدُ الْجَسَدُ لَذَّةَ الطَّعَامِ عِنْدَ سَقْمِهِ. That just as the body does not find the sweetness of food when it is ill, in a state of illness, كذلك لا يجد القلب حلاوة العبادة مع الذنوب. And so it is, the heart does not taste the sweetness of ibadah when it is corrupted with sin. And here we also reflected on the research that was done here in Oxford the Nuffield Center for Neuroscience here on human hedonic experience, our experience of pleasant and unpleasant things in the world, which are central to the regulation of motivational behavior. Hedonic experience in the world has a role. It's influential in how we are motivated in our actions. And in this hedonic value of the food, we are reflecting on the words of Zunnun al-Misri here, where he said that food is influences our behavior, and our sensory, the sensory properties of food are not the only thing that determines how pleasant the food is or how unpleasant it is. It is also based on perception, cognition, labeling of the food in our minds. How we label different foods in the mind plays a significant role in the way we experience this. And in the study, it was shown that when people's foods are labeled as rich and delicious, it increases the actual taste of the food, which was determined from the brain scan that they did. So we taste more sweetness and joy in food when we receive, when we perceive it in a certain manner, when it's labeled in a certain manner. And drawing from that, we said that we need to change our approach to the perspective. Our approach to the way we consider and label ibadah, label acts of worship in our minds, because our acts of worship are labeled as, you know, chores, as duties, as tasks to be done, valuable. It's not the kinds of things that would generate the sweetness that we need from it. Whereas if our ibadah is seen in our mind's eye as valuable gifts, as gifts of taqwa, as opportunities to cherish, then we will, inshallah, begin to taste the sweetness of our ibadah. Our prayers, our tilawa, our dhikr should be seen as blessings and as honor from Allah, who has made it possible for us to do it, because there's so many things that come into play that allows us to do it. He's the one who gave us the hands, the feet, the body, the mind, the heart to contemplate, the opportunities, the space to pray. All kinds of things could happen that would prevent us from praying. You know, there could be an earthquake, there could be a rain, a storm, you wouldn't be coming to the masjid. All sorts of things are put into place. We make one decision, we make one intention, but Allah fulfills it in a whole variety of ways, and to see it as opportunities. This, we hope, inshallah, will help the experience of what the scholars were saying, أَطْيَبُ مَا فِيهَا, the greatest pleasures of this world. The pleasure is of intimacy and proximity, قُرْب مِنَ اللَّهِ, as being close to our Creator, close to Allah. We need, therefore, to change the labels and perspectives in our minds. For our prayers we need to give the label of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it, which is what we hear before every prayer. Well, how did Allah label it? He said, "Hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah." That come towards success. That's the label. That this is the real success. This is the place. All the pursuits that we have, that we are pursuing in our daily lives, is of success in this world. But the real success, the true success, is hadha. This is falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. So when Allah gives us an opportunity to pray, the label in our mind is that, look, yeah, I'm going to my real falah. This is my real success now. And this is the place where I'll get real success. So this is the thing that I will do. Come to prayer, come to success. In our mind's eye, we must see that prayer is a success. Prayer is the place of success. When I recite Surah Al-Fatiha, I should have this, it's labeled in the mind that this is a conversation. I'm saying it and Allah is saying, Hamidani Abdi, Majadani Abdi, Afna Alayya Abdi. Allah is responding when I'm reciting Surah Fatiha. And when I'm in sajda, that's a portal. That is, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونَ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. That the closest you will be to Allah, that qurb that we need, the blessings of being close to Allah, is when we are in sajda. So there it is. So if our perspectives, if our labels in our minds change to appreciate the value of ibadah, then we will inshallah taste the sweetness. We'll begin to taste that the sweetness of our ibadah. There is sweetness, as we said, to be had in everything we do for the sake of Allah, starting from our belief, our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. That a person who has these three things will taste the sweetness of the iman. So there is halawa in your iman. أَنْ يُحِبَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لا يحبه ويحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. These three things: to love Allah and His Prophet more than everyone else, and to love people for the sake of Allah, and to detest, to hate going back into kufr, going back into disbelief as much as you hate being thrown into the fire. That will, if you have these in your heart, then it will facilitate the tasting of the sweetness of your iman. You will start enjoying the sweetness. Number six was that while we lift our aspirations and aim for higher levels of intentions, Imam Ghazali comes here and puts a word of caution by saying we should not become too despondent if this all seems like a tall order, it seems like it's taking too long, I'm trying but it's not working. We shouldn't be despondent, we shouldn't lose hope. So he's saying don't fall into the trap that you go into extreme and then you burn out. You're suffering burnout, you know, you're praying tahajjud all night and then you fall asleep for Salat al-Fajr. Pace yourself, basically, that's what he's saying. Towards the end of the chapter, he emphasizes these two points. To pace yourself. And point number seven was that this path of tazkiyah, of tarbiyah, of training the heart, is a battle with shaitan. He says, قِتَالُ مَا الشَّيْطَانِ. It's a mustamir. Shaitan doesn't leave you alone. And so prepare for a long battle of attrition. You're going back and forth with shaitan. Shaitan is trying to get you, and this was the last point he made. So don't, if you see your sheikh, he said, you don't keep anything bad in your heart for the person who are teaching you, your teachers, because you might not understand what they're doing. Maybe they're in a battle with shaitan, and they're doing a retreat in order to strengthen themselves to fight shaitan. That was the last point he made. Now, this last point brings us beautifully into the next portion of the book that I want to read or reread, because we have touched on this, we have skimmed through this chapter before, but today I want to dwell on it in more detail, because this is a chapter that's very important to give you an idea of the level of attack that Shaitan does when he realizes that you are going to follow Allah, when he realizes that you are insistent on doing what you're supposed to do, then he does not give up. That he keeps coming and he keeps trying. And to see that, because he said in the end of the chapter, it was قتال مستمر. This is a قتال مع الشيطان. This is a battle of attrition. You have to face this. And so to understand the strategies, the tricks and the schemes that he uses, Imam Ghazali has a chapter. It's called بيان درجات الشوائب والآفات المقدرة للإخلاص. The explanation of degrees of impurities and evils that corrupt and stain your sincerity. Because you want to have sincerity, but then you can have degrees of corruption that happens at different levels. And that's what this chapter is about, which we want to read today. So he says, اعلم أن الآفات المشوشة للإخلاص بعضها جدي وبعضها خفي وبعضها ضعيف مع الجلاء وبعضها ضعيف مع الجلاء وبعضها قوي مع الخفاء ولا يفهم اختلاف درجاتها في الخفاء والجلاء إلا بمثال. That he says that there's some that know that the evils that corrupt sincerity, some are apparent and some are hidden, some are weak, some are apparent and some are strong and hidden. And it is hard to see the differences in the hidden and the apparent without an example. So he's giving you an example. He says, وَأَظْهَرُ مُشَوِّشَاتِ الْإِخْلَاصِ الرِّيَا. So he's saying that the most manifest of for form of corruption, the most manifest form of corruption of your ikhlas is what? It's riya, ostentation, showing off. Because remember what we said is that the key to curing ikhlas, he said, al-ikhlasu fi mu'alajatu riya. That was the simple form, the formula for producing ikhlas, for getting ikhlas. Al-ikhlasu fi mu'alajatu riya. If you cure your riya, if you cure your ostentation, your urge to show, then you will get close to ikhlas. That's where it is. So he's using that example. And he says that, look, I will explain what I just said with mithal, with an example. And here he uses the example of prayer to show us the various degrees to which ikhlas can be corrupted. So he says, الشَّيْطَانُ يُدْخِلُ الْآفَةَ عَلَى الْمُصَلِّي مَهْمَا كَانَ مُخْلِصًا فِي صَلَاتِهِ. That shaitan, that however much a person is mukhlis, a person is sincere in his prayer, shaitan brings some kind of calamity, some kind of corruption in his prayer, to his ikhlas at level. He will come to that prayer, no matter how sincere. So he says that, نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ جَمَاعَةٌ, that if a person is praying and then people happen to look at him and he becomes conscious of that, what happens? Well, he says, أدخل عليه داخل فيقول, he said, ثم نظر إليه جماعة أو دخل عليه داخل فيقول حسن صلاتك. He said, oh, beautify your prayer, make your prayer look good, because people are looking at you. You know, حسن صلاتك, make your prayer good. حتى ينظر إليك هذا الحاضر, that بعين الوقار والإصلاح والصلاح, that let this, that do that, make, you know, beautify your prayer, make your prayer look good, so that these people around you will look at you with the eye of respect, the eye of reverence and rectitude. ولا يزدريك, and then he adds another bit. He said, لا يزدريك ولا يغتاب, that they will not belittle, they will not look at you in a pejorative manner, they will not look down upon you in any way. So it's not about looking at you high, but they wouldn't look down on you. ولا يغتابك, and maybe they might not ever do a backbite against you. فتخشع جوارحه. So what happens is that by these thoughts coming in the mind, the person will eventually, the first thing that starts to show piety is the limbs. The hands will beckon, the head will bow. His organs will start. ثم وتسكن أطرافه وتحسن صلاته. And then his salat becomes very, very beautiful, very, very focused and with خشوع. وهذا هو الرياء الظاهر. And this is the ostentation. This is رياء clear. This is the clear manifest in رياء. ولا يخفى ذلك على المبتدئين من المريدين. He said, and this is very clear. Anyone can see this and know that this is. And of course, this comes. This is taken from the hadith that is reported. I think it's Ibn Majah. Yes, it's Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه said, خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكنا نتذكر الدجال. He said that he came out and we were, you know, talking about Dajjal, and he said, ألا أدلكم على هو على ما هو أخوف عندي عليكم من الدجال من مسيح الدجال. Should I not tell you what is more worrying for me than Dajjal? Than the fitna of Dajjal? And they said, yes. So قلنا بلا يا رسول الله. فقال الشرك الخفي, the hidden shirk, the hidden polytheism with hidden shirk. أن يقوم الرجل يصلي فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر رجل. That the person is praying and then he beautifies his salah because he sees someone while looking at him. And by the way, we are living at times where the appearance of Dajjal is near. But that's a discussion for another time. So that was the first stage where we all recognize that this is, when if Shaitan comes and tells you, or you feel that thought to beautify your prayer because people are looking at you, then you know that's the first level. But he doesn't go away there, he doesn't stop there, he doesn't end there. And that's the point to bear in mind. The second level of attack, according to which he says, look, أن يكون المريد قد فهم هذه الآفة وأخذ منها حضرة. That the novice, the person who is learning now, he understands this, just like we do here now, we understand what that is. So he takes caution about it. فَصَارَ لَا يُطِعُ الشَّيْطَانَ فِيهَا. That he will not then follow Shaitan in if Shaitan says that. وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ إِلَيْهِ وَيَسْتَمِرُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ كَمَا كَانَ. And then he continues in his salah as he was, you know, he doesn't take this, he continues. فَيَأْتِيهِ فِي مَعْرَضِ الْخَيْرِ. But then he comes to him from the perspective of khair, of doing good. He comes to you and says, no, you could do something good here. You're praying, and these people are looking at you. فيقول, أنت متبوع مقتدي بك. That you are a leader, you know, people follow you. People look at you and they follow what you do. ومنظور إليك, and you know, they look up to you. وما تفعله يؤثر عنك. وما تفعله يؤثر عنك. You know, and what you do, the people will then follow and they will go after you. ويتأسى بك, and people emulate you. فيكون لك ثواب أعمالهم إن أحسنت. So you will get, if they follow you, if they see you praying very nicely, they see you praying with khushu, and they see how to pray while you're praying, then you will get the thawab, you will get the reward of what of their following of you. That look, you're doing this and they'll follow you. وَعَلَيْكَ وِزْرَ إِذَا أَسَأْتْ. And of course, if you don't pray properly and they follow you, then you will get the sin of it as well. فَأَحْسِنْ عَمَلَكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. So behave properly in your salah now, because they are here. They might learn something from you but while you are praying. And he said, فَعَصَاهُ يَقْتَدِي بِكَ فِي الْخُشُوعِ وَتَحْسِينِ الْعِبَادَةِ. So maybe they may, you know, follow you in the way you are praying, in your khushu, and in the beautification of your salah. And he says, وَهَذَا أَغْمَضْ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. And this is more subtle than the first. It is obtuse, this one. Because وَقَدْ يَنْخَدِعُ بِهِ مَنْ لَا يَنْخَدِعُ بِالْأَوَّلِ. And the person may fall into this trap who may not fall into the first trap. In this trap he may succumb, he may fall. وَهُوَ أَيْضًا, and he's done the verdict on this, هُوَ أَيْضًا عَيْنُ الرِّيَا, that this is clear, pure riya. Even if you do it for those reasons that Shaitan just said, it is pure riya. وَمُبْتِلٌ لِلْإِخْلَاصِ, and it undermines your ikhlas. فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ كَانَ يَرَى الْخُشُوعَ وحسن العبادة خيرا لا يرضى لغيره تركه. That if he thinks that khushu, if this person, now, and this is the analysis that one has to think now, we have to look at themselves to think, that if he thinks that, look, khushu, to have khushu at this time, and husn al ibadah, and to pray nicely, is good, and no one should leave it, these people should not leave it, they should have it. فَلِمَا يَرْتَضِي لِنَفْسِهِ ذَلِكَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. Then why is he agreeing for this for himself? فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. He said, why is he agreeing for this? For this, because he is leaving. He, when he is in khalwa, he doesn't do it. But then he is, when now he is doing it When he is alone, he prays however he likes. But now suddenly he's praying among people and he changes his way of praying. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن يَكُونَ نَفْسَهُ نَفْسَ غَيْرِهِ نَفْسُ غَيْرِهِ عَزَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. So it is not possible that you are more concerned for the people, for the khair, for the good of others, more than you are concerned for the good of yourself in this way. فَهَذَا مَحْضُ التَّلْبِيسِ. And he said, tablis. He said that this is pure confusion. This is pure deception. Your labs is where you cover things and turn them around. So this is why you know Iblis is called Iblis, because he covers things up. The labs, you have labs here, talbis. So he said, بَلِ الْمُقْتَدِي بِهِ هُوَ الَّذِي إِسْتَقَامَ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَإِسْتَنَارَ قَلْبَهُ. And he said, in the verdict, what will happen is that the one who sees him, he will follow and he will benefit and his heart will be enlightened. فَانْتَشَرَ نُورُهُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. So this, and others may follow him as well. فَيَكُونَ لَهُ ثَوَابٌ. And then he will get reward. The person who is following will get the reward. فَأَمَّا هَذَا. As for the one who is doing the show, he said, فَمَحْضُ النِّفَاقِ وَالتَّلْبِيسِ. He said, he gets nothing. He gets the other, he gets the wither, he gets the sin of it. While so a person can benefit from something, from you, and they benefit and you suffer from it because of the wrong intention, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لِيَنْصُرَ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرُجْلِ الْفَاجِرِ. So, فَمَنِ اِخْتَدَى بِهِ أُثِيبَ عَلَيْهِ. So whoever follows him will benefit. وَأَمَّا هُوَ فَيُطَالِبُ بِالتَّبْلِيسِ بتلبيسه ويعاقب على إظهاره من نفسه ما ليس متصفا به. So what he will be punished with is for showing that which he does not possess naturally, because that those things that he did to show were not natural. He went into extra effort to show it and to pretend that he has it. So he will be taken to task for that. So that's the second level. And then it's the third level. Then there's a third level above this. وَهِيَ أَدَقُّ مِمَّا قَبْلَهَا. And this is more subtle. It's deeper than the first two. And يُجَرِّبَ. And here, this all applies also to leading salah and reading, where, you know, there's reading with beautiful tune and Shaitan comes and tells you, oh yeah, you're reading now and their people are really enjoying what you're reading. And in fact, the whole salah then becomes focused backwards instead of forwards. You're leading prayer, but the mind is focused all on the reactions of people, of what happens. You know, how I read the salah and which tune did I reading and how did I pull my mads and effective my salah was on the people, how I led. And this is a problem. This is the same problem. So he's saying here, adaqquha, he adaqqa, he adaqqa minha, mimma qablaha, an yujarriba al-abdu nafsahu fi dhalik. So, wa yatanabbah likaydi shaitan. So it is the person recognized that, shaitan comes and does this, so he's okay. Wa ya'lam anna mukhar, and, sorry. Wa ya'lam anna mukhalafatahu بين الخلوة والمشاهدة لغيره للغير محض الرياء. Now this is a third level where a person knows that if there's a difference between how you pray in solitude on your own and how you pray when you're among people, then that is a sign of riya. That's a sign of ostentation. That's you're showing off. If your salah on your own is different from the salah when people are around is different from when you are alone, then a person knows that and they're wise to that fact. وَيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مُخَالَفَتَهُ بَيْنَ الْخَلْوَةِ وَالْمُشَاهَدَةِ لِغَيْرِهِ مَعْضُ الرِّيَاءِ. وَيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْإِخْلَاصَ فِي أَن تَكُونَ صَلَاتُهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ مِثْلَ صَلَاتِهِ فِي الْمَلَأِ. And he knows that his prayer in a gathering should be like his prayer in when he prays alone. أَنَّ صَلَاتَهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ, his prayer in solitude should be like his prayer in an audience. وَيَسْتَحِي مِن نَفْسِهِ. and he's ashamed from himself or wa min rabbihi and from and in front of Allah and yatakhashsha li mushahadati khalqihi, and so that he should indulge it, he should project khushu, project devotion in the prayer in front of people, in front of Allah's creation, zahidan ala adatihi, anything more than he usually does. So a person knows all this. Does Shaitan leave him alone? No, he doesn't. So this is the third level of attack that Shaitan comes. He says, yes, da'i. فَيَقْبَلَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ وَيُحَسِّنْ صَلَاتُهُ عَلَى. So because he knows all of this now, so what happens? Then Shaitan comes to the door of telling him that, look, in order for there not to be a difference between the prayer in audience and the prayer on the alone, then you should work on the prayer alone so that it is like the prayer when you are in the audience. Right? So work on your prayer when you are alone so that it is. So what happens here? He's projecting, he said, look, فَيَقْبَلَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ وَيُحَسِّنْ صَلَاتَهُ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَرْتَضِيهِ فِي الْمَرَيْ. So he's working to prepare his salah so that the salah that he is praying in solitude will be the same when he prays. So he works on it in solitude. When he's alone, he's working on it. But how can a person have riya when they're alone? And this is the trick that Shaitan is doing. That you're alone and you're working on it. You're alone and you're beautifying the voice, and at the back of the mind, what you're thinking, that yes, I will read like this when I lead the prayer. That, and people will be very impressed then. Final. So,
The final goal is different.
The final
goal is to impress people.
Yes, the final goal is to impress people. That's the reason. So, it is, yes. The difference here, he says, وَيُصَلِّ فِي الْمَلَيْ أَيْضًا كَذَلِكَ, so that he may pray there. فَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ الْغَامِضِ مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ. This is also riya. This is also ostentation of an abstruse type, of a very subtle type. الْغَامِضِ لِأَنَّهُ حَسَّنَ صَلَاتَهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ لِتَحْسُنَ فِي الْمَلَيْءِ. That he prepared his salah, he made his salah, beautified his salah in solitude. He perfected his salah in solitude so that it may be beautified in audience. That's why he's doing it. فَلَا يَكُونُ قَدْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا. He did not. فَلَا يَكُونُ قَدْ فَرَّقَ. He didn't. That in real terms, if you look at the prayer is the same in both places. But لَكِنْ فَالْإِلْتِفَاتُهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ وَالْمَلَئِ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ. So, but the problem is that while he is in solitude, his mind is focused on audience outside of the khalwa. So he's focusing beyond there. بل الإخلاص أن إخلاص أن تكون بل الإخلاص بل الإخلاص أن تكون مشاهدة البهائم لصلاته ومشاهدة الخلق على وطيرة واحدة. So what he's saying, he said that إخلاص is that the view. إخلاص is the view of your prayer, the appearance of your prayer to an animal and to a human being should be the same. If somebody is praying and a cat walks in, they don't change their prayer for, you know, oh, I'm going to beautify my prayer, the cat is coming, you know, he might see me, and or a little child or a mad person. We don't do that. So there's cognition involved in the formulation. We run simulations in our mind. We have a simulation in what that person will think, what that person will say, well, what they will say. We don't have simulations for what the cat will do. We don't have simulations in our minds for what the cat will think, or what the mad person will think, or what the bricks of the room will think. But we are running simulations in the mind about, oh, how impressed they will be, what they will think of me. They will see me as very good. They will like my voice. They might speak about me. So this is a cascade of things that will flow in the mind. And that's what Imam Ghazali is addressing here, that these are the subtle bits of tashwish that Shaitan puts to corrupt your ikhlas. So he's saying, بَلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ أَنْ تَكُونَ مُشَاهَدَةُ الْبَهَائِمِ. That the view, the looking at you, the vision of the of an animal, you know, لِصَلَاتِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَةُ الْخَلْقِ, and human beings, you know, the people looking at it, should be عَلَى وَطِيرَةٍ وَاحِدٍ, they should be the same, they should be equal. فَكَأَنَّ نَفْسَ هَذَا لَيْسَتْ تَسْمَحُ بِإِسَاءَةِ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِ النَّاسِ. And this is the thing that pushes him to practice in solitude for audience, is that he does not want to allow anything, his salah to be to fall short in front of people. So he's doing it. ثُمَّ يَسْتَحِي مِن نَفْسِهِ أَن يَكُونَ فِي سُورَةِ الْمُرَائِينَ. And then there's another big problem, is that he is afraid so that he may be seen as a person of riya, that he may be seen as a person of a show, a person who is showing off, a person of ostentation, بِسُورَةِ. وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ يَزُولُ بِأَنْ تَسْتَوِيَ صَلَاتُهُ فِي الْخَلَاءِ وَالْمَلَاءِ. And he thinks that as long as the prayer is equal in both places, then he has ikhlas, is not. And where in fact, وَهَيْهَاتِ هَيْهَاتِ, he said, oh no. And of course it's not. That war, it's not. بَلْ زَوَالُ ذَلِكَ بِأَنْ لَا يَلْتَفِتْ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ. He said that this is, that there should be no iltifat. Iltafata yaltafitu means to do this. You know, you're looking at this person, you're looking at that person. Iltifat. This is what iltafata is. So iltifat, turning towards people, the attention towards people. That is iltifat. When you switch your attention. Switching of attention. So it's the switching of the attention that is the problem. So you have to ilal khalq. Kama la yaltafit ilal jamadat fil khala'i wal mala'i jami'an. That our attention is not drawn to inanimate objects. You know, okay, well, this potion is here, or this table is here. My attention is now to. It doesn't draw your attention. This jamadat. So he said, "Wahada min shaksin mashghul ilham bil khalq." So this is from a person who is still occupied with the thoughts and with people in the mind. So Shaitan uses this bil khalq fil mara'i wal khala' jami'an. وهذا من مكائد الشيء من مكائد الخفية للشيطان. And this is of the subtle tricks of Shaitan. الدرجة الرابعة, and the fourth level now. So then there is above this a fourth level. وهي أدق وأخفى. And ينظر إِلَيْهِ النَّاسُ وَهُوَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. That people will look at him, and he's praying now, and people are looking at him. فَيَعْجِزُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ اِخْشَعَ لِعَجْلِهِمْ. That Shaitan is now incapable of telling him. He cannot tell him that, look, do khushu for the sake of these people. Right? Do, you know, beautify your salah for the sake of these people, because this is somebody who is wise to all of this. He doesn't get into this, or she doesn't get into this. So فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ تَفَطَّنَ لِذَلِكَ. And Shaitan knows that this person is now wise to this. He's not going to fall into this trick. فَيَقُولَ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So then Shaitan says to him, that look, okay, you know, these people are watching and all this, you know, you're in this audience, so تَفَكَّرْ فِي عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ وَجَلَالِهِ. Think about the greatness of Allah and the mighty of Allah and the might of Allah. وَمَنْ أَنْتَ وَاقِفٌ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَاسْتَحِي مِنْ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ اللَّهُ إِلَى قَلْبِكَ وَهُوَ غَافِلٌ عَنْ. Think about it, you know, and do all of these things, you know, ashamed of the fact that Allah might be looking in your heart, and your heart is ghafil. So look at this. So you're doing good things. He's telling you to do all these good things. But at the base of it, why is he telling you to do this? He's predicating all of this good advice on the fact that people are watching. وَمَنْ أَنْتَ وَاقِفٌ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهُ فَيَحْضُرُ بِذَلِكَ قَلْبَهُ وَتَخْشَعَ جَوَارِهُ وَيَظُنُّ ذَلِكَ إِخْلَاصٌ. And then he thinks now, the person does accepts these things, does this, and then he thinks that, yeah, I'm, you know, practicing ikhlas. وَهُوَ عَيْنُ مَكْرٍ. And this is a deception as well. Shaitan comes and he does it. وَالْخِدَعُ. And a deception. فَإِنَّ خُشُوعُهُ لَوْ كَانَ لِنَظْرِهِ إِلَى جَلَالِهِ. That his khushu, if it was for his view of Allah alone, then he would not need. لَكَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْخَطَرَةُ تُلَازِمُهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. That this kind of consciousness should be there all the time for a person. And it should not only need to come when you're in the audience, when people are around. So when Shaitan comes and says, oh, these people are all around, so you better watch yourself, pull this. There is a subtle, he's telling you to do good things. He's telling you to put your heart. But this is something that you should be. So he said, Al-Khatar, فَإِنَّ خُشُوهُ لَوْ كَانَ He said, لَكَانَتْ الْخَطْرَةُ تُلَازِمُهُ وَالْخَلْوَةُ وَالْوَكَانَ لَا يَخْتَصُّ هُذُورُهَا فِي حَالَةِ حُذُورِ غَيْرِهِ That it should not need the apparent, is the presence of others for it to happen. That's the point. Is that if the reference to which Shaitan is telling you, you know, all these people are around, so put your heart there, and that because these people are around, then that is also a trickery. That's a fourth level trickery. That he's telling you, you're going to do this because people are around? No, then. But that's a subtle one. It's, he said, وَعَلَامَةُ الْأَمْنِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآفَاتِ And he said, the sign of safety, the sign of security from all of these calamities, all of these kinds of evils, أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الْخَاطِرِ مِمَّا يَأْلَفُهُ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ كَمَا يَأْلَفُهُ فِي الْمَلَائِ Is that these sorts of thoughts should be the same when you are alone, like when you are among people. The presence of people should not be the reason why you are doing this. And that's the point. That you're doing it because of people. No. He said, وَلَا يَكُونُ حُضُورُ الْغَيْرِ هُوَ سَبَبُ هُوَ السَّبَبَ فِي حُضُورِ الْخَاطِرِ And it should not be that the appearance of others, the audience, should become the reason for these kinds of thoughts. This should not be the reason. That you should have these thoughts, you should naturally be inclined to these thoughts. And that's, of course, it's of a level that one has to work to develop. We're not saying that everyone is safe from this. You can, and this is easy. وَكَمَا لَا يَكُونُ حُضُورُ بَهِيمَةٍ سَبَبًا That the arrival of an animal doesn't cause it. So why is the arrival of a human being necessitating this? The reason is that we are running simulations of what's going on in the minds of people's hearts. So he's saying, كَمَا لَا يَكُونَ فَمَا دَامَ يُفَرِّقُ فِي أَحْوَالِهِ بَيْنَ مُشَاهَدَةِ إِنسَانٍ وَمُشَاهَدَةِ بَهِيمَةٍ فَهُوَ بَعْدُ خَارِجٌ عَنْ صَفْوِ الْإِخْلَاصِ So he said, as long as there is a difference in the heart, a difference in the quality of his state, between being in the view of human beings and the view of animals, if there's a difference between these two, then there's still a problem to be dealt with. It's still something to be worked on. So the view of the animal, if you know, a herd of sheep comes in, that's not going to have you, well, it may probably startle you, but it will not have an impact on your ibadah. And the same way, you're praying, but if human beings come, it's the simulation that we run about what they will think and what they should think and what I would prefer them to think, that's the problem. So he's saying, فَهُوَ بَعْدُ خَارِجٌ عَنْ صَفْوِ الْإِخْلَاصِ That is, it's not within the category of ikhlas. وَمُدَنِّسُ الْبَاطِنِ And it destroys in what's inside. It stains it. It creates encrustation. بِالشِّرْكِ الْخَفِي And this is the shirk al-khafi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about. What did he say? He said that I fear this more than I fear Dajjal. And every Nabi, every prophet that came warned their followers about the coming of Dajjal, that this was such a great thing that every Nabi had to do it. That every Nabi, Allah told, that to warn them about Dajjal, that this would be a fitna so big. Imagine that he's saying that I worry about this shirk al-khafi more than I worry about that, he said. More than I worry about Dajjal, he said. وَهَذَا شِرْكٌ أَخْفَى And he's saying that this is the shirk. أَخْفَى فِي قَلْبِ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمْلَةِ السَّوْدَى فِي اللَّيْلَةِ الظَّلْمَى عَلَى الصَّخْرَةِ السَّمَّى He said that this is the shirk that is more subtle, than a black ant crawling on a black stone in a dark night. This is the one that Rasulullah described. This is the kind of thing that happens. So he's saying that this, كَمَا وَرَدَ بِهِ الْخَبَرِ وَلَا يَصْلِمُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا مَنْ دَقَّ نَظَرُهُ. And we will not be protected from the tricks of shaitan except the one who spends time, who looks into detail. وَصَعِدَ بِعِصْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And he is granted the protection of Allah. وَتَوْفِيقِهِ. And Allah's tawfiq and hidayah, his guidance. وَإِلَّا فَالشَّيْطَانُ مُلَازِمٌ لِلْمُتَشَمِّرِينَ لِلْعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. فَالشَّيْطَانُ مُلَازِمٌ. Shaitan is persistence in his... He wants to do things over... He wants to take you to Jahannam. As we said, you know, that لَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find them. لَا تِيَنَّهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَأَنْعِمَ أَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will comfort them, I will attack them from all directions. So, it is important to see him. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوهُ. Take him as your enemy. هُوَ مُلَازِمٌ لِلْمُتَشَمِّرِينَ لِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. That those who are pursuing ibadah of Allah, those who are pursuing Allah's worship, shaitan is constantly attacking them. وَلَا يَغْفَلْ عَنْهُمْ لَحْظَةً. And he does not pull away from them. He does not become negligent about them, not even for a moment. يَحْمِلَهُمْ عَلَى الرِّيَاءِ. He wants to get حَتَّى يَحْمِلَهُمْ عَلَى الرِّيَاءِ فِي كُلِّ حَرَكَةٍ مِّنَ الْحَرَكَةِ. He wants to take you into riya. He wants to take you, he wants to corrupt your action and everything you do. حَتَّى فِي قُحْلِ عَيْنِ. فِي قُحْلِ الْعَيْنِ. Even in using eyeliner, he will come and tell you, make some, he will corrupt it, which we discussed earlier. And وَقَصُ الشَّارِبِ, you know, clipping your mustache, and وَطِيبِ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ, and using perfume on the day of judgment. Using perfume on يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ and Fridays. So you say, وَلِبْسِ الثِّيَابِ, you know, wearing of clothes. When you wear clothes, he comes and talks to you about it, you know. Instead of wearing it for Allah and thanking Allah, being grateful to Allah, we project ourselves in the eyes of people. That's the first thing we think about. Remember, we discussed that, you know, that if you wear clothes in one to one wedding, then you don't want to wear it to the other wedding, because everyone has seen you. Seeing then becomes, and this happens a lot with the sisters, they say, no, we have to buy new clothes. Why? Because everyone has seen me in this clothes. So what, does the quality of the clothes diminish? At the time of purchasing the clothes, that was the best in the shop. There was nothing better than that. It was the best clothes, it has the best design, the best cloth, the best cloth, everything. But as soon as people have seen it, then it's lost all its value. Then we have to find something else. And that's shaitan. It's the simulation in the mind about clothes, the way clothes should be wear. That it's all about the value of it is in the eyes of what people are seeing. If not, then you would easily wear the same clothes to one wedding and another wedding. But to say that, oh, I'm not wearing it to the other wedding because everyone has seen me in this, that our sense of value is then rooted in through the eyes of people rather than the actual quality of the design and the clothes we are wearing. And this is all this is a form of riya. Because what is riya? Ostentation. It is show. So if you decide that you're going to show that this is what you need, that you know, my clothes. So he's saying, this is what he's saying here. For وَلِبْسُ السِّيَابِ. فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ سُنَنٌ فِي أَوْقَاتٍ مَحْسُوسَةٍ. And the reason he said that these are sunan, they are practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in specific times. وَلِلْنَفْسِ فِيهِ حَضٌ خَفِيٌّ. And the nafs also has a part to benefit from this. لِلْتِبَاطِ النَّظَرِ الْخَلْقِ. Because, and then there's the connection of the eye of people. People's eyes are connected to this, and that's where the problem. وَاسْتِئْنَاسِ النَّاسِ بِهِ. And the people find this agreeable. That's their natural inclination towards these things. So فَيَدْعُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَى فِعْلِ ذَلِكَ. So shaitan calls you to do it, and then he corrupts the intention for which you will do it. ويقول هذه سنة لا ينبغي أن تتركها. And he says, oh, this is sunnah, you know, you shouldn't leave this. But ويكون, and then what happens is that انبعاث النفس, he says, انبعاث القلب باطنا لها لأجل تلك الشهوات الخفية. But then the heart then configures these subtle urges to satisfy the simulations that we are making of people's reaction to seeing you, to experiencing your perfume, to say, oh, he has good smell, or she has good smell, or this person has beautiful clothes. We are running these simulations in the mind instead of thinking about Allah and thanking Allah for the clothes and thinking about hisab, that, you know, Allah has given me this clothes Am I justified in getting this clothes? Did I thank Allah enough for it? Did I connect an-ni'mah bil-mun'im? Did I connect the giver of it to the one who this thing that Allah has given me? All of that is the mind should be occupied with. But what shaitan does, he comes and pulls the mind into the simulation about what kind of reaction. Oh, they will say, I've never seen such a clothes. I've never seen such a dress. I've never seen, this is so beautiful. Where did you get it? I wouldn't tell them. All of that is going in the mind, you know. I wouldn't tell them where I got it from. You know, I'm the only one that should have such clothes that will amaze everyone else. These simulations are running in the mind. And shaitan is having a good time. And we are losing out on the ability for our hisab, to give hisab. Because you will have to hisab. Al-mubah. Yes, clothes is mubah. It's allowed. It's halal. But there is hisab, you know. So what is hisab? Hisab is reckoning, justifying it in the eyes of Allah, justifying what we do, what we take, what we spend of this world. So it's important to be aware, to be wise to these sorts of simulations that are running in the mind. And this is what Imam Ghazali is calling us to build our repertoire of recognition for it. And this is the problem. And this is why he's giving you this example, the example of prayer, but with this you can extrapolate on others. Okay, so he's saying, وَيَكُونَ الْعِنْبِعَاسِ الْقَلْبِ بَاطِنَ لِيَجْلِ ذَلِكَ شَهْوَةً أَوْ مَشُوبَةً بِهَا شَوْبًا يَخْرُجُ عَنْ حَدٍ. And said, these kinds of considerations and thoughts affect your ikhlas, or it may stain it to a degree. And that's why one has to be careful. And he said, وَمِمَّا لَا يَسْلِمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآفَاتِ كُلَّهَا فَلَيْسَ بِإِخْخَالِسِ. And the thing, and what is not safe from all of these corruptions, then it's not khalis, it's not ikhlas, because khalis is pure. And then he gives the example, كَمَنْ يَعْتِكِبْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. A person is doing i'tikaf in a masjid, and he has two choices. There's a big, beautiful masjid with lots of facilities, and there's the local masjid with not very much, you know, it doesn't look beautiful. But he chooses the big one to go for i'tikaf, and he says, وَقَدْ يَكُونَ مُحَرَّكِ الْخَفِيِّ وَسِرُّهُ that surat al-masjid, that the masjid is so beautiful, وَاِسْتِرَاحَةُ الطَّبَعَمْ, that he feels nice in this big, beautiful masjid, but he doesn't feel. وَيَتَبَيَّنْ ذَلِكَ فِي مَيْلِهِ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِ الْمَسْجِدَيْنِ. And so then the ikhlas is corrupted in that. It's stained by that, that he's not, every masjid is beautiful in the noor, in the fact that angels, that this is the house of Allah. It's not the walls and the bricks and the mortar that makes a masjid beautiful. It is the prayer in it. It is the dhikr in it. This is the Qur'an. It is the angels. It is the house of Allah. The most beautiful masjid ever was Masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was made of mud. They used to do sajda, and the mud used to stain their forehead. And that is the most beautiful masjid there was. So for us, we have to see those beauty, the beauty in the spirit of the place, and not this. So he's giving this example. So he said, yeah, وَكُلُّ ذَٰلِكَ امْتِزَاجٌ بِشَوَائِبِ الطَّبَعَ وَكُدُورَاتِ النَّفْسِ مُبْتِلٌ حَقِيقَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. And all of these are things that are corrupt, and they attack the purity of your ikhlas. وَلَعَمْرِي الْغِشْ الَّذِي يُمْزِجُ بِخَالِسِ الذَّهَبِ لَهُ دَرَجَاتٌ مُتَفَاوِطَةٌ. And then he gives you the example of counterfeit coins, you know, gold coins. He said you have them on different levels of corruption, counterfeit. You'll have some will be mixed with less gold, some will be mixed with more gold. So he's saying, فَمِنْهَا مَا يَغْلِبْ. So there are some that has more in it. فَمِنْهَا مَا يَقِلْ. And some has less. وَلَكِنْ يَسْهُلْ دَرْكُهُ. And you will see the one that has less. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَدُقُّ بِحَيْثُ لَا يَدُرْكُهُ إِلَّا النَّاقِدِ الْبَصِيرِ. And there are some that looks really genuine, but they're not. They're fake. They're counterfeit. وَغِشُ الْقَلْبِ وَدَغْلُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَخُبْثُ النَّفْسِ أَغْمَضُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَدَقُّ كَثِيرًا. مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَأَدَقُّ كَثِيرًا. That the trickery, the counterfeit, the deception of shaitan is more subtle than this, than a counterfeit coin. ولهذا ركعتان من العالم أفضل من عبادة سنة من الجاهل من جاهل. And he said, for this they say that a two rak'ah of an alim is better, is more virtuous than the ibadah of a jahil praying all year, because he might be doing all kinds of strange things in his prayer, or being tricked by shaitan. وَأُرِيدَ بِهِ الْعَالِمَ الْبَصِيرَ بِدَقَائِقِ الْآفَاتِ الْعَامِ بِدَقَائِقِ عَافَاتِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And what we mean here by an alim, a scholar who is aware of these things, who has been trained in this path, who recognizes the subtleties of these calamities. حَتَّى يَخْلِصَ عَنْهَا that he protects himself. يَخْلِص means that he has ikhlas away from that. فَإِنَّ الْجَاهِلِ نَظَرُهُ إِلَى ظَاهِرِ الْعِبَادَةِ وَيُغْتِرَارُهُ بِهَا. But the jahil, the ignorant person, thinks that all the things that he's doing on the outside, that makes the salah perfect. I'm not worried about the insane. Where am I going to put my foot? Make sure I trample the person next to me. Therefore, I stretch my foot out, or I put my hand in a certain way. That is the thing. Of course, we're not saying that this is not important, the outer form of the salah. But if that is not the full extent of it, so he's saying the jahil, فَإِنَّ الْجَاهِلَ نَظَرُهُ إِلَى ظَاهِرِ الْعِبَادَةِ, just the outer form, وَيُغْتَرَارُهُ, and then he becomes deceived by it, بِهَا. كَنَظِرِ الصَّوَادِي إِلَى حُمْرَةِ الدِّينَارِ الْمُمَوَّهِ لِإِسْتِدَارَتِهِ وَإِسْتِدَارَتِهِ. He said like an ordinary person who becomes deceived by the color of a fake coin and the roundness of it. That's similar. وَهُوَ مَخْشُوشٌ زَائِفٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ. But it's all مَخْشُوش. It's all, you know, deception. It's all deceptive. It's fake. وَقِيرَاتٌ مِّنَ الْخَالِصِ الَّذِي يَرْتَدِيهِ النَّاقِدْ خَيْرٌ. He said just one carat of pure salah, of one pure gold, is good. That he wants خَيْرٌ مِّن دِينَارٍ يَرْتَدِيهِ مِّن a whole dinar that is messed up. فَهَكَذَا يَتَفَاوَتُ أَمْرُ الْعِبَادَاتِ. And so it is, the matter of عبادات, of our ibadah, differs. بَلْ أَشَدُّ وَعَظَمْ. And it is even more so than counterfeit coins. ومداخل الآفات المتطرقة إلى فنون الأعمال لا يمكن حصرها وإحصاؤها. And the corruptions of calamities that come upon our أعمال, upon our deeds, are of various are so many of various types and ways of happening that it is impossible to encompass it all. You cannot do a definitive description of it all. فَلْنَقْنَعْ بِمَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ مَثَلًا. So we will suffice with what we have said so far. He's saying that, look, this much is sufficient for you to understand, and from this you extrapolate on others. He said, وَالْفَطْرُ يُغْنِيهِ الْقَلِيلِ. The person, an intelligent person, عن الكثير, a little bit is sufficient. والبليد لا يغنيه الطويل أيضا. And he said that the foolish person, even long explanations do not benefit them. فلا فائدة في التفصيل. And so there's no need for further discussion in this matter. And that's the end of the chapter. Let's pray. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبو لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب. صدق الله. جزاكم الله خير شيخ.
And thank you all for coming. Inshallah, next week we'll continue at the same time. Inshallah. And now they accept it from all of us and allow us to implement what we've learned today. Inshallah.
I have a question.